Taking offense is a trap of the enemy. Today, Kenneth Copeland shows how the spirit of offense is a major blessing blocker. Develop an attitude of praise to receive your healing. Next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you so much today. We praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that dwells within us and among us. And we uplift the mighty name of Jesus and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. We receive revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We're studying the healings of Jesus. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's 19 specific healings that are mentioned. Now, of course, yeah, you know, heal multitudes, and there's just multitudes of things. But these are ones that the Holy Spirit put in the Holy Word of God to give us examples that we can follow. And if you follow these examples, you will receive your healing. I mean, that's what they're in there for. So you could be healed. Pray. They're not put in there so you could have, you know, theological debates about it. Don't get all complicated. Hey, read it. Believe it. Receive it. Amen. Thank you, Lord, and give him the praise and the honor. Today, we're going to be talking about the Syrophoenician woman. And we'll begin reading in the 15th chapter of Matthew, if the 21st verse. And that's Matthew 15:21. When Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now, they're not saying, get rid of that woman. They're actually, they're essentially saying to him, do whatever it is she wants and get her on her way. She cries after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, or it's not right, to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Now you notice faith is involved. Great is your faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Her daughter was made whole from that hour. Now, let's go over to Mark chapter 7, verse 24, and let's get Mark's account of this same incident, this same happening. Mark 7, 24. From there he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house. Now, it was a house, not his house, as we studied earlier this week. His house was in Capernaum and would have no man know it, but he could not be hidden. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. She answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. When she came home to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now then, I want to walk you down through some things about this woman. Mark 7:25. Let's go back over there again. I want you to notice that Mark 7:25. She fell at his feet. She worshiped him. This is big. It is so important. She worshiped him. Now, here's something else. There are two things that she said that reveal something about her. She said in Matthew 15, let's go back over there right quick. That's the reason it's important to study all of the accounts, because each one will add a little something to it that opens our eyes. In Matthew 15, 22nd verse, and she said, O Lord, thou son of David. All right, I want you to look in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. You see that phrase a lot. Thou son of David. Jesus said, Matthew 22:41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, Son of David. Now, people that cried out, the blind men, two blind men, have mercy on us, Son of David. She said, Son of David. She knew who he was. Now, you remember when he said, let's go back over here again to Matthew 15. When he said in 15:27, and he said, It is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. She knew she was a Gentile. I'm convinced in my spirit that she's gotten a hold of the Word of God some way or another. She's interested. And she couldn't have done this just all of a sudden because her daughter got a devil, or at least I don't think. Your opinion is good as mine. But she knew. She knew things. She said, that's the truth. So she knew some things. She knew and believed that he was Messiah. Son of David, she called him. Now, she had no pride. Well, she ought to have had a little pride in herself. A man called her a dog. Well, her daughter had died. Pride will get you killed, brother. But in this generation going on now, somebody call you a dog? What? No way you can receive anything from God, because faith doesn't work in that kind of prideful environment. The Scripture says, 1 Peter 5:6-10, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting all of your care over on Him. That's the way you're being humble before God is, oh, I'm just unworthy. Oh, I'm just, oh, come on, man. No, no, no. That's not what the Bible says. I mean, I used to think the same thing when I was Bible stupid. I didn't know. But you don't have any excuse for staying illiterate when you own one of these. Praise God. Pray and get in it. Believe what the Bible says about it instead of, like one fellow said, Grandma taught it and we bought it. I mean, you know. Your grandmother may be sweet and all that, but she may be religiously brainwashed too, because there's a lot of that. And it's not a shame to be that way. It's a shame to stay that way. And what's more shame than that is to fight about it. Let's fight about it. I don't believe that word of faith stuff. Well, don't worry about it. You ain't going to be bothered with it. Amen. Anyway, she wasn't full of pride. The scripture said God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. Well, Lord, you know, I believe you help those that help themselves. I can handle about 2/3 of this if you just can see your way clear to help me with it. No, he said, cast all your care over. I don't want you carrying care. I went to hell so you don't have to carry it. Come on, man. Now, she had no pride. Luke 7:19. Ooh. Luke 7:19. She could not be offended. Boy, if there is anything big today going on, particularly in our society, oh, I'm so offended. Oh, you have offended me. Oh, I'm a Native American, and you have offended me. Well, I'm a Native American, too, and I can't be offended. Well, you've never been through what I've been through. Well, I probably haven't, but I got a Bible, and you have a Bible. And as long as you're going to be offended, look what Jesus preached in the 4th chapter of Mark, that Satan comes to steal the word. What was the number one thing? Those things are listed in order. The number one most successful thing Satan has is they have no root in themselves, and they become offended. So what happens? Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Faith can't work in an offended atmosphere. It just chokes it off. Notice this. In Luke 7:19, John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, wait a minute. Whoa, this is John the Baptist. This is the man who said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Was he convinced this was the one to come? Yes, he was. What happened? He got thrown into prison. He's sitting there thinking, hey, don't he care? Hey, look at me, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Are you really him? Or am I missing God here? He's talking about John when he's talking about being offended. Now listen to this. Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men that were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he should come, or look for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, cast out and the blind he gave sight. Jesus answering said unto him, go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. Do you get it? The blessing won't work when someone's, oh, you just, oh, Just give it. I'm telling you, this stuff is dangerous. And it's been published so that it's become a way of life for some people. Well, hey, it's a way of life, all right, but it's a way of life of sickness and disease and unbelief and doubt and hard times and fights and getting all kinds of riots and all kinds of that just because you got offended over something. Amen. Well, I don't have time to do that. Listen now. She was not touchy. He called her and her daughter dogs. Touchy people get mad. I'm going to tell you something. Touchy people get mad if you insinuate they're a little overweight. And I'll tell you what's behind that, particularly Christian people. It's because you know good and well you're fat. You know good and well God's been telling you to get rid of it, and you get touchy and upset. You know what that is? That's that spirit. Yeah, I'm gonna call it what it is. It's that gluttonous spirit that's trying to protect you from the truth. And you get all off it. Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, sweetheart, look, let me tell you something. I used to weigh 100 pounds more than this. Well, within 3 or 4 pounds of 100 pounds more than this. You think I don't understand? I fought the fat fight. I fought the battle of the bulls. I fought it. And through God's grace and help, I'm victorious over it. Hallelujah. My faith, my weight is stable for the first time in my life. And I finally got the total victory over the thing at 80 years old. I'm 81 now and enjoying the results. But, hey, you don't give up. You don't quit. And if somebody says you're fat, you just laugh and say, yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm on my way. Glory to God. There's a skinny man in here that's coming out. don't ever let the devil see you sweat. Don't ever get touchy. One day, many, many, many years ago, I was in one part of the house and Gloria was in another part of the house there. And she hollered something at me, and I don't even remember now what it was. And I was tired. That was my excuse. Well, I was tired. I was pretty well close to exhausted. But that's no excuse for you to be grumpy and hard-nosed. It's a sin whether you're tired or not. Because when you break the commandment of love, sweetheart, you just sin big time. So I said, she don't care nothing about me. I want you to know. See, I got offended. She don't care nothing about me. Jesus rose up on the inside of me, and I didn't hear it audibly, but my hair heard it. My insides heard it. It jerked me to attention. He said, "Who do you think you are, sir?" And I wasn't expecting that. He jerked me up. He said, "It's none of your business whether she cares anything about you or not. It is your business before me to care for her." Yes, sir. I won't go into what all else he said to me, but I want you to know he straightened my string, brother. Amen? Why? Don't be touchy. Because you get touchy, you get over into a place. Satan has intimate. He has access to your innermost counsel, and you're not hearing anything from God when you're touchy and fretful and full of anxiety and fear and. Oh, God. Now, see, you can be touchy where God is concerned. Don't you care? What? You're talking to the man that went to hell for you. You're talking to love himself. But why don't he do something about this? Sweetheart, what's he going to have to do? I mean, the man went to hell, suffered hell's fire so that you could be well, so you could be free and financially prosperous. And he was raised from the dead, seated on the right hand of the Father, glory to God, and sent his mighty Holy Spirit to indwell you, to empower you, to strengthen you, and gave you the perfect book. And in that book is all of life and glory and victory. And instead of you and me sitting around crying and feeling sorry for ourselves, just slap the fire out of yourself and just get up. So I've done it. And just get up. Can I just shut that up? Get over here and get on your knees before God. Get that book. Shut that feeling sorry for yourself up. Just slap yourself good. Amen. But I'll tell you what, this will slap you real good. And this will tell you, now, quit eating that, fatso. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Quit doing this. Get over here and start doing this. This is what's destroying your business. This sin in your life is destroying your business. This is it. You get in there and get doing that, and I'll tell you something. Things begin to change. Hallelujah. Look what happened to that woman. She got her daughter healed. I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.